down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you, sir?
I'm well, and you?
I am fine. Let's go back here to, perhaps you'd want to mention this as well. We talk about vending, and we talk about, if you're aware, that has been an everlasting problem in Barbados over the years, subsequent governments and everybody. But only this week, I heard the minister said that they would regularize it. That's what he said, that they had a meeting to the Small Business Association. And he said that and he will not criminalize it as far as vending is concerned. I think that you and I, you spoke about Swan Street. And I think certain provisions have been made for Swan Street in terms of a non-traffic, a pedestrian situation. I also know that for a fact that some of the cross streets, Bolton Lane and Victoria Lane, and those lanes, actually, there's a movement of traffic in those areas. But what you said, which I'm in agreement with, is that it seems as if the stores have occupied the outside of the store now in terms of sales. I personally believe that is a
It is not only the stores. It is a combination of the stores and a new type of vending that has been taking place in Swan Street, where I say to you, people actually have trays in the middle of the street vending various things, including fruit and vegetables.
I have no proof to what you've just said, but I can tell you.
You should walk down there and see.
Vending, and you should know this, vending is controlled by the Ministry of Public Works and by the Market Association.
So?
Somewhere along the line, it would mean that those vendors that on Swan Street, some of them might have had permission, some might not have had permission, but I know for fact that the stores have got permission to sell from the inside behind the counters. So I don't see why a store should be allowed on the sidewalk outside, challenging or being in competition with those people whose permission has been given to sell.
How you know that they got permission?
Mr. Listen, I want to get in that with you, right? Because as far as I'm concerned, you are a journalist and there are many things that you should investigate, don't investigate. Mr. Ellis, the law states that in order to be a vendor, to vend on the street.
But you just said that they got people who vend without the necessary permits as well.
But let the police find them, but you can't...
All I am saying here to you, and I do not back away from what I said, that what we have seen in Swan Street is emerging into what is nothing but a chaotic situation, and that the very movement of people along the street is being impeded by the way that the thing is developing. And people like you want to come across as though you are so much the defender of the small man that you must take objection to what I say. But you can do it.
You don't shop in the mall.
You can do it. But at the same time, you are not going to force me from taking the position that I have taken. You are not browbeating me this morning.
But let me talk to you now then, because you don't shop in Swan Street.
You don't know anything about where I shop.
Yes, I just know where I shop.
You do not know where I shop, and I am not putting up with that from you neither. You can't come and tell me that you know these personal things about me. I am not talking about you at the personal level. I am saying that there is a problem emerging that we should put our focus on and try to make sure that it doesn't even get worse. But it does not require my telling you about where you sleep last night or where you live or where you do shop or anything like that. I'm not interested in that from you, and you shouldn't be interested in it from my end either.
You are personal. I want to make it.
I'm not being personal with you. What reference I made to you? I said I'm not party to that. Let's move on. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis, morning.
Morning.
You know about cricket, right? Of course you know about cricket, because it's you playing cricket on a couple of occasions. And you know that when the batsman, and using this analogy, you know when the batsman, the umpires are not sure about if the batsman is there or not, the consult. And if after consultation on the field, they go up to the third umpire.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the length of time that the third umpire take to give out the man, or to say that the man is not out, you know, more often than not, the batsman is given the benefit of the doubt based on the length of time it takes to make a decision. You aware of that?
Sometimes.
Right. I will leave that. No, I will go no further with that.
What's that linked to? Imran Khan winning the presidency of Pakistan?
I'm happy for Imran Khan. He's a decent and a genuine person. I'm happy for him. The thing now is if you can get the kind of coalition government that he's seeking to get, that's the only trouble he got. I was talking in reference to an ongoing investigation, and I told you go no further with that.
Okay.
I said to say that. But anyway, let me make the point now. I heard the Minister of Tourism, the Honorable Carrie Simmons, say last week that when people come into the airport, there should be some advertising that the passengers come off of planes can see, because the arrival halls are a little plain. And I can agree with them more. Because I said many years ago, in the 1990s, that the wall in the port should be sandblasted, painted nice, and people get signs painted on the walls and bring some color to the wall. If you all could even put a pay for advertising down there. So I am happy to see Carrie Simmons now going in that direction. But let me just make the significant point now that I want to make. Yesterday I heard the people from the personnel from the FTC Fair Trading Commission was in Swan Street. And I was really curious when I heard them say that they're there to educate the people. And they made mention of an example of people's rights. We had to talk about some kind of cream and it affects you, you know, what can happen. Mm-hmm. You heard them with that? Hello?
I can't recall hearing that discussion.
Yeah, but it was on the People's Station, which is your station. I took note of that because some time ago I was saying on this station that when you get medication, when people in Barbados take medication that makes them sick, and something that sometimes can even cause death, I want to know who you can refer to for compensation.
You go to court.
Right.
That's where you can go. You got to prove the case.
Right. And I even mentioned the asbestos in the port.
That again?
Pardon?
That again?
You got to talk about it, David. You got to remind these people that it's there still. But I wasn't really, that wasn't my significant part of my discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I was just saying that I'm happy to know that the Fair Trading Commission is there to guide people who would have taken medication that would have made them sick and all these kind of things and do a lot of things to people. Because in the States, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, in the States, there are millions and something, billions of dollars set aside to compensate people who were made sick or who had even died from certain medications.
Okay. Just before we press on, the people at the SSA need to hear this particular message. This person says, we need a garbage collection at Ashbyland, number 1 Lodge Road, Christchurch. We haven't had one in 2 weeks. Okay? Dr. Brastatz, hello. Good morning.
Hello, good morning. Miss Ellis, I think I agree with you with the whole issue of the Swan Street issue.
Yes.
It's very unfortunate that people cannot bypass this stupidity of the small, poor black man, because it's so unfortunate. You know, they bought two beers, and the beers got a stroke. And this is the second time they bought beers from these youngsters on the street. And not the same people, but on the street, trying to help them.
After this is Swan Street?
No, this is just in general. Just talking with the poor black man, too.
Yeah.
And the peers never raped. These past, the peers aren't raping. Anyway, that's not what we mainly call it about. In relation to the gentleman who spoke about the catering in the parliament, this is the second time for the week I've heard him on the program. I usually get in this program like every once every 5 years. I don't know how these guys get in so regular with the same nonsense all the time. He doesn't have the facts. On average, I have worked in parliament. I won't go into all the details, but on average, you have 70 persons you have to feed on average, if I can remember correctly. And there's different requirements for certain people and all these kind of things, both in food and beverages and so on.
Yeah.
You don't only prepare lunch, there's also a break you prepare and this kind of thing. You understand? And also for the evening, there's also...
And it depends upon how long the house meets on a given day.
Sometimes you have to rush to dinner because they decide to go on there. It's just not an easy thing. Sometimes you don't even have a clue what the apartment is going to take. 3 hours today or 10 hours.
But you know what would be important in all of this, though? What was charged previously? And I don't know. I mean, if you can get somebody who may be able to do that, all of that, at a cheaper price, or it may well be argued by the person who is asking for the higher price that there has been this escalation in costs over a period, and that must be factored in and all of that. So
yes,
I don't. It is dangerous to come to a conclusion without more information.
Right, and because is a possibility. The way how he's doing it, where he's dividing the amount by the third. I can understand where he's coming from, but you need more facts to really find out the whole truth about it. As you say, you need some history on what it was called.
Yes.
The next thing is there's a gentleman who calls this program every morning. I was very happy when Dennis beat him down a couple of weeks ago because he belongs to about 8 different political parties, and 1 minute he's the secretary general, secretary next minute. And the thing I was referring to, wanted to speak to about was the gasoline issue. He made a statement that a lady said she used to put $75 of gas in her vehicle and the needle to go to a certain point. Now she has to put in $100 for the needle to go to that same point. That is totally incorrect. This is what I did when I heard about the gasoline increase. And I'm no scholar. I went to university or anything like that. I bought $50 in gas and put it into my vehicle. I checked the liter. $50 in gas gave me 13.7 liters. 7 plus, right? I then went and bought $100 in gas another time. And I got 27.7 or something like that plus liters. After the 40 cents was put on for the liter, I went back and do the same thing, $50 in gas. It gave me 12.8. And the $100 gave me 25.7 or something. Basically, the $100, you lose about 2-point-something liters. When you add it up, if you wanted the same amount of liters, the 27.7 liters that you would have gotten the $100 previously, you would have to pay $112. You see the difference? $12 for the $100, and suppose he's saying $25 on the $75, which is totally incorrect. The liter before was about $3.62. With the 40 cents, it went to like, and the whole issue of the NSR and thing removing, it went to about $3.96 a liter. Yes, I must say that three, almost 2 point something liters is a lot of gas for a poor man, and a man is unemployed right now. But I'm saying don't fool the public telling them that the gas is the thing. My main issue is the budget. And I understand the countries in town is the water, because I'm paying twice as much now for my water. I can understand paying something on it. Don't get me wrong. But the $1.50 note is really, honestly, a little harsh for me. For my water bill, only used to be like $31. Now my bill is going to go up now to about $75. That's only my thing on it, you know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Hi, morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good, you know.
Yes.
You know, I was listening to your last caller. And what you need to know, I would like to know if in truth and the fact, the catering for Parliament, if that went out for tender as well, I wonder if that went to tender, or if it's somebody friends who get that contract.
Well, that would be a relevant question. Did it go to tender?
And secondly, what he was saying just now about the what you last thing said too. Oh yeah, the garbage. I would like him to get someone now to come and collect his garbage instead of depending upon sanitation authority and see what price he will have to pay weekly or daily to get his garbage collect. But that is not my real point. I wonder if you, David, look at page 10 of this morning's Daily Nation. Did you see it?
Well, specifically, which are the articles?
Hello?
I don't remember the stuff by the page. I remember it by the article.
Okay. Well, I saw a page 10. A canny, more must go. Oh, and this is a
that was discussed.
Article that highlighted a branch meeting in St. James South, where Dorvin Ellis addressed the branch on Wednesday night. And his claim is that both Akani and Ms. Morse don't care about the workers. Now, if Dorvin Ellis asking for Akani McDowell and Tony Moore from the Barbados Workers Union to go, I wonder if Dorvin Ellis has not even come to the point at the present moment that the people in St. James South has already sent him home, and he has no moral authority to ask anyone to send home both Tony Moore or Akani McDowell. And I am sick and tired of Dorvin Ellis' continuous attack on these trade unions, even when he was in government. I even highlight this to you, David, when I told you that he's anti-trade union movement, and you try to defend him. And I did the best my argument.
Why are you trying to defend
workers,
him? The only thing, I must have told you back then was that I knew that you were campaigning for Sandra Husbands. That's the only thing I told you?
No, but I discovered that whenever I come to highlight, I mean, I don't be brain something. I don't come.
The only reason I ever countered you like that is because I felt that in the circumstances, the public should know that you had a particular axe to grind it did not mean that you could not express your point of view.
No, but I never had my feelings about Dorvin Ellis, and no one.
Right, and from time to time, people just needed to be reminded that you were on a political crusade.
No, but no one ever was in doubt, even at this present moment, to know that I am a supporter of Barbados Labour. I never had.
And that you were actually down in the in that particular constituency campaigning.
I never did.
Right, you never did what?
I never campaigned in St. James. I'm serious. I don't know if you're calling the listenership in St. James South to the program. You think I would be a St. James South? I don't have to go to St. James South to campaign when I can use the OB to campaign.
Oh, I see. I understand. You'd make it even more brazen than anybody would have anticipated.
The messages would go across in James South and further afield here, right? But anyhow, listen, my real concern, I'm not very serious about this. I think Dorvin Ellis needs to go and get some sort of counseling, because he just can't accept the people send him home, or he cannot accept the defeat of the Democratic Labour Party. Even his own executive of the Democratic Labour Party, David, has now muzzled Dorvin Ellis. And, you know, and he's very silent on that. He has not come out since then we read in that article and said one single word. But yet he on the campaign again now against the trade union movement this country. And I'm saying
well,
to him...
He's taken a political stance on that matter. And the truth of the matter is that in these things, you take a gamble. I don't know what the ultimate goal is. The annual conference of the Democratic Labour Party coming up next month.
Yeah.
And you see, the goal may be more targeted at that than it is at the Barbados Workers' Union or the National Union of Public Workers, because you know full well that it's the membership of those unions that make the decision. And I don't see how, even if Mr. Innes were sitting as an MP today, that his utterances, even in government, would be strong enough to influence what would happen there. But remember, at a minimum, he has a public profile out of all that he has done in the meeting that took place and that sort of thing. And that should, in real terms, translate into something when you go to the annual conference. I would think that that's what that's about.
Well, to be honest with you, David, it can translate into...
But you didn't stop to think of it in that way?
Yeah, you may be right. But when saying to it's going to translate into a massive defeat if he's voted for any office in the Democratic
but
Party.
But why?
So, let me tell you why.
Why?
That's the actual question. David, you would know, I have a lot of friends who support the Democratic Labour Party, who left the Democratic Labour Party and now support the Barbados Labour Party, and some who still remain. And what I'm hearing coming from the ones that I know who still support the Democratic Labour Party they, at least a couple told me, a couple of those supporters told me that Donville is one of the key reasons why they were defeated in the election, because of the stance he was taking against the party and then coming back in before.
I really think that the assault on him is very interesting. The assault from within is very interesting. I have had a view for a while that when the Sandiford administration imploded because a number of people voted against the Democratic Labour Party, people, four of them or so, had voted against Mr. Sandiford and in the no confidence motion, that the Democratic Labour Party never really recovered from that. Mm-hmm. And that in the last period, it was one of the reasons why people hung together irrespective of what was happening. Don Villeneuve was one of the few to speak out on matters. But he couldn't go the distance, as some people suggested that he should have done, and just break away from the government. If he is under so much pressure for just speaking out, you know how much more pressure he would have been under. He would have been treated in the same way that the Dems treated some of those people who voted against Sandiford, you know. You become, you get banished. And this is the nature of party politics that you are seeing play out here. He is now considered by some in the Dems, as you said, to have been the architect of their defeat. The real architect of the defeat of the Democratic Labour Party was not Don Villeneuve. It was the Prime Minister of the day and how he handled matters. So, but, you know, to me, they're looking at the wrong person when they're looking for what caused the defeat.
And no, David, not at all. Not at all.
You're going to agree.
He was colluding with the Prime Minister and the other members of cabinet as well, David. That is what have some of the members in the Democrat Labour so upset with him.
How am I colluding? How am I colluding with the Prime Minister?
He support everything that the same Stuart bring.
He did what?
You know, mentioned to me. He support everything.
Fair enough, but
so the members of the Democrat
Labour. But because he supported everything, I don't think it is fair to blame him for the defeat of the Democratic Labour Party.
But he should stand up like a man and come out and say exactly what was that. If you don't like what was going on, disassort him, with what was going on between the Democrat Labour Party. So therefore, that's
I think that he's paid a price for those votes. That price has been the fact that it has helped him to lose the seat that he had. But he is in a very interesting situation within the party. I go back to the day that they decided that they were going to end the lectures, the lunchtime lectures, and the fact that they told him at the last minute and that sort of thing. I wait to see how they are going to resolve that. But having established that, I do not believe that Don Villeneuve is the only person within the former administration that may find themselves having difficulties in trying to move forward within the party. It's going to be a tough fight. And this is the nature of the game called politics and opposition politics. Oh, but very, 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 very tough. And in politics, you have no real friends, huh? There is a lot. Everybody, the egos are very, very huge. Everybody believes that they are fit to lead, and they drag down each other in a very significant way. So we wait and see what happens. There's a breaking story in relation to this much-talked-about drugs case. Stetson Babb is on the line with the details from Starcom Network News. Good morning, Stetson.
Good morning. Well, we were hearing from early this morning that charges were imminent, and indeed that has now come in the form of a statement from the police itself. On Friday, 27th July, 2018, personnel at the police drug squad have arrested and formally charged one, Walter O'Neill Prescott, 55 years, a sailor of 107 Emerald Park, East St. Philip. Two, Christopher Glenn Rogers, 56 years, a company director of number 27 York Road, Navy Gardens, Christchurch. 3, Arthur Charles Herbert, 62 years, a company chairman of Redland Plantations in George. The statement goes on. The three persons were jointly charged with the following offenses, which occurred on Monday, 23rd July 2018, while at the Bridgetown Port St. Michael. 1, possession of cannabis, that's marijuana. 2, possession with intent to supply marijuana. 3, trafficking of marijuana. 4, importation of marijuana. The weight of the marijuana is said to be 267 pounds with an estimated street value of $530,160. They are set to appear at the District A Magistrate's Court on sometime today. So repeating, the two company directors of Goddard Enterprises Limited, GEL, and the employee who were being held by the police since Monday for 5 straight days now, they have now been charged, 4 charges relating to the possession with intent to supply, trafficking, and importation of marijuana, and expected to appear in court later today. Stetson Bass, Stark on Network News.
Thank you very much. So you've got that news and all the speculation and the stuff that people have been sending me on social media. Some of you are dead wrong. It has not turned out the way that you wanted it to. Okay? Down to brass tacks.
Mr. Ellis, a blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And to you as well. I trust that the weekend will be a beautiful one for you and the rest
same
of the
thing.
The station and your families as well. I'm glad to hear the news that somebody stats and it put has put that whole case to rest from the public.
Well, in one sense, but then now it goes to court.
Right. Well, I hope from that point of view, the mere fact that charges has been laid and names has been identified should really let the public see that the police is doing its work and there are no hindrances. So I am pleased about that situation. Now, Ms. Ellis, you remember I spoke to you about the wall of the beach. If I were going to send that to you, what would I send that to? Your phone. DLS.
You could have sent it to me as a WhatsApp message if you have my telephone number.
No, I don't.
Alternatively, if you want to send it to me via email, you can send it to me at davidellis@starcomnetwork.net. davidellis@starcomnetwork.net.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. A fisherman who I spoke to a few days ago said to me that he took the picture of the same divided beach wall, and he had it on the Facebook, so I don't know if the person would have seen it. I was pleased that he did that. But I was saying to him that I have to get it to send it to you, but I'll have to have gotten your number and whatever to send it off. Now, having said that, I want to move on to 2 other matters. I want to support, and I'm pleased to hear that Ms. Motley is moving to have the laws and regulations as far as town country planning is concerned amended and updated from the point of view that when we have projects that is geared to develop Barbados and to have businesses or persons that would say who are looking to come into Barbados to spend money and to develop the country and to invest, to have those businesses and so on hindered and held up for such a long time is really ridiculous. And I'm glad and pleased to see that she is doing that, to have that done. However, I want to also add other things to what she is doing. And that is, I would like also to encourage her that when projects of this kind are being held up by the public or any member of the public taking action against it because for whatever reason they may see it necessary that they have to do that, I would like her to have enshrined in that law that those who have taken issue with it, if they lose the case, that they will have to pay the cost. If the government loses the case, they too will have to lose the cost. I mean, pay the cost, because it has to be understood that development of a country, foreign exchange of a country, and employment of the country is important, very important for the development of our country, but it cannot be or should not be expected that when you can go ahead and do something like this, that you walk away with a smile on your face if you lose the kid, because there is a tremendous cost to that. And I want to see that done. It is important. And the next thing I want to see done, as far as that law is concerned, is that just how we had the BRA case speeded up so that business in Barbados would not be held up, I want to see that law that she would bring about, that when cases of that kind, that when somebody object to, that those cases be sped up just how BRA was, so that we get a speedy resolution on these matters. It is not good enough for we to have to wait for all of these years that you have things like this being done. It is ridiculous and it is wrong for our country. It doesn't matter which government it is that is in office. It is a wrong thing to happen, and it is just humbugging our country and turning off investors who come to Barbados. That's one thing. I want to make another very important one. I see it to be. If you want to make a comment on what I said.
No, please. I don't need to.